You are listening to a digitally remastered class of HaRav Yochanan Zweig, Rosh HaYeshiva of the Talmudic University of Florida. This class is from the Robert L. and Rhoda Lipton Foundation Audio Library. For more information, please call 305-534-7050, or you can visit our website at www.talmudicu.edu.
Actually, it's before Pesach. I would like to talk about Pesach. And the truth of the matter is the Parsha and Pesach are very much connected to each other. Rashi says in Parsha Shmos, when Moshe is criticizing Dosan Vaviram for Lomasaki Reyecha, so they tell him, Misom Chulish Sar Veshofit Aleinu Halargeni Ata Omer Kasher Raktas Amitzri Vayira Moshe Vayomer Oche Noda Dover. And Rashi says, Oche Noda Hadover Noidali Hadover Shayisi Toma Olov. I was bewildered. Ma Chotu Yisrael Mikol Ayin Umis Lios Nirdim Bavodis Perach. Of a roani shehem ruuyim lekach. He sees that they're roy for that, for this backbreaking work, because they have dalturim. And Rashi said on that first, he said, "Sherobi Yisrael reshoim dalturim omer me'ata shema einim ruuyim lehigoyel." So Rashi says there's two things. If people speak Lashon Hara, they're not roy for Geula. One thing. And the second thing Rashi says, why they nidun b'avodas perach? What's the kipshah? What does avodas perach and have to do, why is that the punishment of Lashon Hara? And why is the other thing, therefore they're not roy for redemption? It's very, very negeya. I think it's very Nogeya Pesach. This is the Parsha of Negoim, which is Lashon Hara. It's a very interesting Lashon, I think it's in Sefer Yetzirah, that says there's nothing higher than Oneg and nothing lower than Nega. What do those words mean? It doesn't sound like there's any basis of comparison. It's like, it sounds like apples and oranges. When you say high and low, you have to be talking about things that are comparable, and one is at one end of the spectrum, one is at the other end of the spectrum. What are the two ends of the spectrum between Nega and Oneg? The whole idea of Lashon Hara has a lot of serious problems that the emphasis is we don't understand. If we don't really understand what's wrong with Lashon Hara, and none of us really do, then it's almost impossible to stop ourselves from talking Lashon Hara. And I'll tell you a few things that I think that we don't understand. Even though we say the words, we don't really believe. Chazal say Lashon Hara is equal to Gilui Arayah, Shvichas Dam, and Avodah Zarah combined. To murder, adultery, and idolatry combined. Nobody really believes that. I mean, if somebody was reading a shidduch and you find out the father of the girl is a murderer, an adulterer, a kaimer l'avoda zara, I think that would probably be something that you would stay away from. He talks Lashon Hara? I think nobody would be married if that became one of the... if we were as mocked on that as on idolatry, adultery, and murder combined. So nobody really... So what are Chazal doing? Giving us... I mean, you know, when you give an exaggeration to anything, you really undermine its message. And it's not possible that Gemara is saying such a ridiculous exaggeration. How could it be equal? Nobody believes that. We Mamish don't believe that to be true. So did Chazal believe that to be true? Do you know anybody who would... You think a person would rather be a victim of murder or a victim of Lashon Hara? I think most of us would opt for being a victim of Lashon Hara rather than a victim of murder. So we don't believe. What's Chazal talking about? What do you mean it's equal to murder? A person doesn't feel as bad. He may feel terrible being the victim of Lashon Hara, but he certainly would opt for that rather than being the victim of a murder. Another thing that Chazal say, that sounds like such a nonsensical characterization of the Aveira of Lashon Hara. Chazal say, the me'il that the Kohen Gadol wore, v'nishma koilo b'voya kodesh, when the Kohen Gadol wore a me'il, it made the bells ring when he went into the Heichal, and therefore that was brought an atonement. All the clothes of the Kohen Gadol, the Gemara says, was mechaper on different averes. What was the me'il mechaper? So the Gemara says in Erechin, it was mechaper on Lashon Hara. Why? Yavi dover shebekol v'yechaper amaisekol. Something that makes noise, I'm translating literally what the Gemara says, Yavi Dover Shebekol, and that's what it is, Nishma Kolo, you hear the noise of the bells, and it's Mechaper Al Dover Shebekol. And it's Mechaper on Lashon Hara. Means Chazal are characterizing the sin of Lashon Hara as Dover Shebekol. What do we call? Kol is sound. Lashon Hara is content. It's not that the sound is cacophonous, or that, right? In fact, Lashon Hara can usually be said very low, and it's, when E.F. Hutton talks, everybody's quiet. Someone talks Lashon Hara, and one other side of the room, there's a quiet, and the ear across the way expands like an afrechas to absorb all the sounds of Lashon Hara. So for Chazal to talk about Yavi Dover Shebekol, it's just, I mean, what are they talking about? Another thing Chazal say that also doesn't seem to ring true is the Gemara says in Erechin, they asked the Nochish, why do you bite people? What do you have out of biting people? So the Nochish says, Ma Yisron Le'odom. The Baal Lashon, the person who talks Lashon Hara, what does he have? What kind of pleasure does he have? It means Chazal is telling us that there's no pleasure in Lashon Hara. What does that mean? There's no pleasure in Lashon Hara. There's no pleasure in Lashon Hara. There wouldn't be such a universal desire to talk Lashon Hara. The Gemara says, Kulam ba'avak Lashon Hara. Everybody has some taint of Lashon Hara. That means everybody has a predisposition and desire to talk. If there's no pleasure, I don't think people are motivated. If there's no pleasure, you're not motivated to do anything. And yet Chazal say there's no pleasure in talking Lashon Hara. If there's no pleasure, then how come we have so many people, almost everybody is ba'avak Lashon Hara? I guess just one last question, which is really the Pasuk tells us according to the way Rashi learns. Some of us say it every day, but I don't think we know the way Rashi reads the Pasuk. One of the Sheish Zechiris that people say is to remember what Hashem did to Miriam. Zochres asher osa Hashem elokecha leMiriam b'derech b'tzeischem mimitzrayim. So I think most of us understand what that means. Remember what Hashem did to Miriam, and therefore don't talk Lashon Hara. Right? This is the way Rashi learns Pshat in the Pasuk. The Pasuk that begins, the one before this, He shomer b'negat saras, guard the negat saras, lishmor mod, v'lasos, g'chol asher yores, v'kohan malvim kasher tzivisim, tishmeru lasos. And then Zohar, Rashi says like this, Zohar es asher osa lemiriam. Now, means if you want to work on not talking Lashon Hara, remember what happened to Miriam. I think that's the way everybody thinks. Let me tell you the way Rashi translates the Pasuk. Zohar es asher osa lemiriam, im bosel hizor shaloi tilka bit saras. If you want to make sure you don't get saras, don't talk Lashon Hara. Remember what was done to Miriam, that she got saras. If you don't want to get killed, keep Shabbos. It doesn't say that. It says keep Shabbos if you keep, right? You don't put the oinish. What we're trying to prevent is Lashon Hara. So he says, remember what happened to Miriam, and then you won't get punished. No. It's, if you don't want to get saras, then remember what happened to Miriam. It means we're not trying to prevent me from, we're not trying to prevent me from getting lashon hara, we're trying to prevent me from getting saras. What kind of message is that? Is the idea I shouldn't get a punishment? Or I should do the right thing and not talk lashon hara? It should say, if you want to make sure you don't talk lashon hara, remember what happened to Miriam. Not if you don't want to get saras, remember what happened to Miriam. It sounds like we're trying to save you from getting saras. It's not we're trying to save you from getting saras. We're trying to save you by the zechiras to make sure you don't talk lashon hara. No, it's to save you from saras. Which means Rashi is learning the, why is he learning the pasuk like that? Just to hear good. You hear why it's such an awkward formulation. If you don't want to get the punishment, it's not about punishments, it's about not acting inappropriately. Right? Lashon hara is a huge chomer aveir. If you don't want to have the chomer aveir that's equal to gilei ra'ayos, shvichas dam, and avodah zarah combined, remember what happened to Miriam and then you won't speak lashon hara. Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says if you don't want to get saras, the problem is you want to get saras, the problem is you don't want to talk lashon hara. It sounds from the Rashi is that he's actually saying what we said before. Since kulam are bavak lashon hara, you can't stop a person from that. The most you can do is try and prevent that he shouldn't get saras. But the natural instinct of a person is to talk lashon hara. We're not thinking about stopping lashon hara. We're thinking about how to prevent saras because your natural inclination is to talk lashon hara. Right? The Torah is not telling me if you want to guard yourself from talking lashon hara, the Torah says if you don't want to get saras. Which probably means if you only want to stay with avak lashon hara. If you want to be bavak lashon hara, not graduate into the next thing, remember what happened to Miriam. But we're not going to get you out of avak lashon hara. Because if we get you out of avak lashon hara, that's what you want to do. You shouldn't have any connection to lashon hara. What an awkward way for the Torah to say, which means the Torah is saying, everybody has this need to talk lashon hara. What's the pshat of here? All right, those are the kashas I'd like to deal with. We'll explain some of the halachas and the parsha, hopefully too. Let's start with what Chazal is saying, that Yovi Dovrisha Bekol V'Yachaper Al Ma'isekol. It's not about sound, it's about content. Yet Chazal characterized Lashon Hara as Dovrisha Bekol, something that makes noise. Shots like this. Very, very interesting psychological truth. Let's first define our terms. What does Dover Shebekol mean? Something that makes noise. There's a need for people to be heard. You know, anybody who's ever been at a board of directors meeting, and they have a whole discussion, and everybody gives their opinion, and you know it's going on for half an hour, finally, sort of, the chairman wants to call for a vote. 1 second, and somebody, I have something to say, and all of a sudden he says whatever what somebody said 10 minutes ago. Why? He needs to be heard. It has nothing to do with anything. He's not adding to the discussion. People need to be heard. They want to feel important, and therefore they need to be heard. Very often in classes it's the same thing. You know, students, besides, I always feel it's a big avla when a student doesn't listen to another student's comments and questions, because we may have even more than the teacher. That's one avla. But when the person literally said what's been said for the last 10 minutes by 4 different people and says it again, that's because they need to be heard. A person needs to be heard. A person needs to be noticed. Chazal is giving us here a Mishundika insight that what drives lashon hara is not, we're talking the motive that drives lashon hara. We're not talking about what the aveira is, but what drives lashon hara is a person's need to be noticed, to be heard. Like little children was the expression, they should be seen and not heard. Heard is a way to call attention to yourself. Speaking lashon hara is to call attention. What's the need? What's the psychological need in the person to call attention to himself? You know, a very interesting thing. Everybody is born with a certain potential in life, and everybody has a different potential. But potential doesn't give a person any standing. It doesn't give a person any chashivas, really. Even though we like to get chashivas for people that are very intelligent like to feel that because they're smart, they should. That's a gift from God. And anybody with a little brain in their head knows that that's no reason to give a person COVID. It's no reason to respect the person because a person was given an IQ 50 points higher than somebody else. Just like it's no more reason to respect the person who has a body that can run a 3.50 mile in 3 minutes and 50 second mile. You know, the way most of us can't because when our bodies are not shaped that way. Okay, Hashem gave that person the ability. But abilities are just gifts from Hashem. The only thing that a person contributes on his own is his effort. It means Adam Ma'amo Yulad. We are all given abilities, and abilities, we can't take any credit for our abilities, because abilities are a gift from the Almighty. And that's a present, and it's his, it's not mine. But what is mine is I have the abilities, and what is mine is if I work hard to develop those abilities. I could run every day of my life for 3 hours. I'm not going to be able to run a mile in under, I don't have that ability. Or to become a great chazan. I could daven every day for the Yomid and sing 4 hours a day and practice, and I don't have those abilities. Somebody who has those abilities is also nothing. God gave him that. Unless they take those abilities and develop those abilities. Adam la'amu yulad is the only measure of a person is how much effort he makes to develop his abilities. So here there's a lot of, I think there's a tefer of vort, but I'm going to say it's simple, and maybe some other time. I'm still thinking about it. I think there's even a more profound insight. I'm going to say it very simple for tonight, because this I know for sure is true. A person needs to work in order to take those abilities and to fulfill his potential requires work. To the extent that I don't work, I can't feel good about myself because I could do a lot more. And first of all, in general, there's a natural laziness. Atzlus is the natural condition of Chaimer is lazy. It requires a huge effort to do work. And then not only is it a huge effort to do work, to do maximum work effort is an incredibly difficult thing. You know, to really work to my utmost is an incredibly difficult thing. And by the way, what I mean to work to my utmost, I don't mean going 18 hours a day. It means to work to the utmost in an efficient and intelligent way. But even that is an enormous, enormous difficult by a person. It's work. It's called Omo. Adam Omo Yulad, the Pasuk says. Omo is hard work. And there's a natural resistance and reluctance to do hard work. And most of us therefore don't, or almost nobody works to their maximum. And then they look at themselves and they feel a sense of unrealized potential. That's a very, very uncomfortable feeling. Unrealized potential gives a person a sense of emptiness. Here I have the potential to achieve something, and I didn't do that, and that's a very depressing thing by a person. It's interesting. The word in Hebrew for depression and work is exactly the same word. Machol etzev te mosar, the Pasuk says. The Rabbeinu Yonah says the word etzev means work. Etzev atzvus and etzev is exactly the same word. The word for work and depression is the same word, which I think what it means is the extent of depression is how it's a direct correlation to how much work you've done, your depression. It's really a direct correlation. The measure of depression is how much work you've done. If you've done 10% work, you're going to be very depressed. If you did 90% work, you'll be a little bit depressed, because the notion of effort is the only thing that's really me. My work product is me. Therefore, we have a very fascinating thing. Here I'm sitting around. I know I'm not working. I have atzlis. I'm not putting all my maximum effort. And I feel an emptiness inside of me. Because if I would work more, I'd be actualizing my potential. It's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I could have been something incredible. And I'm not. And therefore, I'm wallowing in a little self-pity. But really, I'm just wallowing in my disappointment, in my not producing, not making the effort. Well, I have one solution, is I can make more effort. But the reason I don't make effort is because it's difficult. It's a huge amount of work. So there's a quicker solution. And that solution is to measure myself against somebody else and put somebody down. Oh, thank God. Thank God. I'm better than somebody else. Instead of measuring myself against myself, which creates an emptiness, what I do is I measure myself against somebody else, and therefore, as long as I'm better than him, I'm feeling good about myself, relatively good. Let's put it like this. The whole world works on the same system. You're in a class, and the way you're graded is against somebody else, especially you mark on a curve. The teacher marks on a curve. Your whole grade is only in relationship to somebody else. And even if you don't mark on a curve, it's not a test of according to your ability, it's some kind of standardized assessment of what people should know. And your grade goes on a standardized assessment, what most people would know or people should know. And the fact that you maybe get a 70, 80, or 90 doesn't say anything about you. You might have been able to get 150 because this is easy for you. Somebody else does a tremendous more work and they can only get a 70. So there's no real assessment of you. But that does give a person a certain relief that he knows he's more than somebody else. It's not a real sense of accomplishment, because it's not a measure of his potential and his accomplishment. What it is a sense that if I'm more than somebody else, I give myself a space, I have a certain mokum, even though it's really very artificial. So first of all, now we understand what the Gemara is saying. The first part. The Gemara says, why do you talk Lashon, or to the Nochesh, why do you bite? And the answer is because my Yisrael and the Baal HaLoshen. So the question is, Baal HaLoshen doesn't get any pleasure. What do you mean? People don't do something if they don't have pleasure. What does that mean? Of course there's a pleasure in talking Lashon Hara. It's not pleasure. It's not driven by pleasure. It's driven by the avoidance of pain. The real Yisod of Lashon Hara is, I feel pain, atzvus, in the fact that I'm not using my effort giving effort to maximize my potential. And therefore I'm in pain. What drives Lashon Hara is the avoidance of pain. I'm in pain. I feel inadequate. I feel that I have not reached my potential. I feel that I'm not making the effort and I'm using a very small part of my potential, and that's very depressing. So what I do is, and therefore I am in pain, what I do is I put somebody else down. Oh, thank God, I'm better than somebody else. I have some place. I give myself some place by creating an artificial way of measuring myself. Instead of measuring myself against myself, I measure myself against somebody else, or maybe it's not even true. No, Lashon Hara is true, so I'm saying something negative about somebody that's true. Thank God, I'm more than him. If I'm more than him, I have some, I give myself a space. So now we're just saying very interesting word. What drives Lashon Hara, Chazal are 1,000% right. There's no pleasure. It's not about pleasure. It's about the avoidance of pain. And that is a much stronger drive than pleasure. There's nothing a person almost won't do to avoid pain. Pleasure, you know, I can be moichel on pleasure. There's a limit how much money I'll spend on pleasure. But there's almost no limit how much money a person will spend to avoid pain. Pain, the greatest need of a person is to become free of pain. The greatest nightmare of a person is that they're going to be in pain and they want to extricate themselves from pain. So we're saying, well, Chazal are telling them, try to learn up the Chazal exactly. Say there's no Hanah. There's no Hanah. Everybody does it. It doesn't make sense. The answer has to be there's no pleasure, but there's the avoidance of pain, which is a more primordial need than even pleasure. That's the first part. The second part the Chazal is saying is, Yavi Dover Shebekol, Yechapra Maisa Kol. It's talking not about content. It's, of course, the Aveir is content, but Chazal are telling us what drives, what motivates Lashon Hara. What motivates Lashon Hara is, I need to be noticed. Dover Shebekol, I need to be noticed. I'm looking for, I need people to listen to me. And by the way, there's, you know, when a person talks Lashon Hara, he has a captive audience. Everybody hangs on to every word he says. He's giving himself almost some chashivas in the act of saying negative things about somebody. That itself gives him a chashivas. He has an instant audience. He has people hanging on to every word. That's one part of it. The other part is the fact that he puts somebody else down, alleviates some of his pain, because he has given himself a place. Besides in the speaking, he's given himself a place. By creating a negative perception of somebody else, he's also given himself a place. It's Yavi Dover Shebekol. Chazal are characterizing the motivation of Lashon Hara. They're not characterizing what the sin of Lashon Hara is. The sin of Lashon Hara is the content. But the motivation of Lashon Hara is Yavi Dover Shebekol. I'm driven because I need to be noticed. I feel unfulfilled. I'm in pain. I feel not chashiv. And what I do here when I'm now speaking Lashon Hara, I'm giving myself some place. I'm being noticed. People listen. People will notice me. And to the extent that I say something, it makes me feel, I give myself a place too. And therefore, Yavi Dover Shebekol is the perfect characterization of the Chedah Lashon Hara. With this, I think we now begin understanding the Gemara. And this is where it all starts from. Which is our kasha, we started with, what does it mean that it's worse than Gilui Arayos, Shfichus Dam? Nobody believes the sin of Lashon Hara is worse than Gilui Arayos, Shfichus Dam, Avodah Zarah. We don't believe it because we're learning wrong shot in the Gemara. The Gemara is not talking about the effect of Lashon Hara is not worse than the effect of murder, adultery, and Avodah Zarah. No. The Gemara is talking about not the effect of the Lashon Hara, but the effect on the person who speaks Lashon Hara is more devastating. You're doing yourself more harm by speaking Lashon Hara than you are by killing somebody, adultery, and Avodah Zarah. There's more harm you're doing to yourself. Why more harm that you're doing to yourself? Because what happens is like this. When you do something wrong, murder, that's a very terrible thing, and you know it's terrible, and hopefully someday you'll change your behavior. Avodah Zarah, Arias, you know, all those things are terrible. It was Taivin. Lashon Hara, what it does is like this. Lashon Hara as a salve, what's the word? A salve? A salve. To alleviate pain. But what happens is, if you have an instant way of relieving pain of non-accomplishment, or you're going to work hard, you become addicted to constantly alleviating the pain in a very quick way. So after a while, when you, instead of working and making effort, which is the healthy way of relieving the pain, you have an instant way of relieving that pain. And what's the instant way of relieving that pain? Talking Lashon Hara. And then the pain goes away. And therefore you don't have to work hard. So it doesn't take too long till you are mamish have an addiction to talking Lashon Hara, because it takes away your pain. We're all in a tremendous pain. A person doesn't work hard is in pain. There's only two ways to deal with the pain. Either to work hard, or to have an instant way of relieving relief. If you have instant relief and it gives you relief and relief, after a while you have no incentive to work hard anymore. There's just no incentive, because working hard will alleviate your pain. The simpler solution is, which doesn't require any type of effort, or very little effort, is to put somebody else down. And therefore, You'll start becoming addicted to that easy, and therefore you lose your potential. Once a person does not make effort and has the same relief from the feeling of I'm nothing because I have all this potential and I'm not using it, I can make that pain disappear, then why should I ever make effort? So after a while, you will lose all your potential, because you're just not going to use your potential. You're not going to make the effort to use your potential to have a real accomplishment when what drives me to use my potential more is to make me feel I shouldn't feel empty, because I have pain when I don't do that. Because I have a natural laziness or a reluctance to make a real effort. But now I have a way of solving that. I don't have to. All I have to do is talk Lashon Hara. So after a while, I'm not going to use my pain, I'm not going to make an effort to use my potential, and therefore I'm going to lose my potential. By all other sins, you don't lose your potential. By all other sins, no matter how terrible they are, you did something wrong. At the end of the day, you can change. But when you get relief from pain without making effort, there's no way you're going to ever decide that you should make an effort in order to develop your potential. Chazal is saying it's more harmful. They're not talking about, again, they're not talking about the effect on others, they're talking about the effect on the person who speaks Lashon Hara is more devastating to him, because he becomes addicted to the relief, the instant relief, as opposed to the years of hard work. You want to be a great runner? You want to be a great chazan? You want to be a great musician? Hours and hours and hours, or great Talmud Chacham, hours and years of work. Who wants to do that when I can get the relief in 5 minutes by putting people down? There's nothing that's a tremendous sense of relief. And after a while you become addicted to the instant relief. You're out of pain, and therefore there's no motivation. The whole motivation to work is because pain drives that. Because I could be more and I'm not. And okay, I'll work harder. The atzvus is because I don't have enough etz. If I do more work, that's a huge effort. I can do it without effort. All I have to do, some people try drugs. Some people try alcohol. That's another way of doing it. But there's really negative effects. This is, and then I have to spend money for that. I have to make sure it's illegal in many places. And then maybe I'll have other problems in how I drive. This is homemade. I do this. I don't need a prescription for this. It doesn't cost me any money. All I have to do is immediately, and I have instant, on the spot, I have a gratification. And there's so many people I can call up right away and just give them the good news. And therefore, we lose all our sense of potential. And when a person loses potential, he's finished. When he loses his ability and the belief in his potential. That's what the Chazal are telling us. So we're just changing. We're saying exactly what they're saying. We're just listening to what they're saying. They're not saying the effect is worse. They're not saying that the Aveir is the sound. They're talking about the motivation. And they're talking about the consequences on the person that speaks Lashon Hara, what it does. Now, what does all that do to a person? That takes a person means a person, once a person does not think about exercising his potential, then after a while he loses contact with what his potential is. He doesn't, that's not who he is. He doesn't, he's not making an effort to develop anything, and after a while he's literally separated from his potential. Here's where the Mishnah thing Chazal say is. There's nothing greater than oneg, and there's nothing lower than nega. Let me tell you what oneg is. It's a Mishundik thing. Oneg means, where's the main din of oneg? Shabbos and Olam Haba. Oneg ma'aneg es haShabbos gets nachal b'li mitzorim. Oneg means like this. Oneg means somebody who celebrates his accomplishments. Oneg is the celebration of my accomplishments. I am so connected to myself that I celebrate my accomplishments. What is Shabbos? Let's start. What is Shabbos? Shabbos, I'm not working. I'm not putting the effort in. And therefore, I should be ganz depressed on Shabbos. Except Shabbos is Misha Torach Be'erev Shabbos, Yochel B'Shabbos. Shabbos is the time we celebrate our accomplishments. Shabbos, and then the real Yom Shekula Shabbos is when we celebrate our accomplishments of a life of accomplishments, which is Olam Haba. Shabbos is not that I'm not enjoying not working. There's a celebration of accomplishments. Right? This is a very important understanding. Shabbos is celebration of accomplishment. Oneg is celebrating accomplishments, which means that's the total attachment to myself. I'm celebrating my accomplishments. My accomplishments are what I've done. That's my effort. The celebration of what my effort has produced with the gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me is what oneg is, and that's what the din of Shabbos is. You don't do anything on Shabbos. It's not that Hashem wants us to do nothing. He wants us to celebrate accomplishment. That's what oneg is. Celebration of accomplishments. Not in the doing nothing, but in the fact that I worked all week, and therefore I have everything. I'm celebrating my accomplishment. Olam Haba is the ultimate of that. Nega is exactly the opposite. It's not only don't I celebrate my accomplishments, it's an erosion of my potential. Because once I'm already so addicted to getting relief from the pain of not accomplishing by not doing, and just by creating a artificial standard, I'm more than somebody else, or I make believe I'm more than somebody else, or I'm going to say negative things, and therefore I become separated from my potential. So the separation from potential is nega. Oneg is the celebration of my potential and the effort that I did to accomplish. So oneg is, Rakasha, what does oneg have to do with nega? It's exactly the same thing. The lower end of the lowest end is I have no connection to my potential. The highest end is that I am celebrating the effort that I'm celebrating the effort that I've maximized my potential. Nega means I have no connection to my potential. Oneg means I am so connected to my potential because I've made all the effort, Misha Torach Be'erev Shabbos, that I'm able to actually celebrate my potential because I've actualized my potential through my effort. Nega is I'm totally alienated and separated from my potential. Another shot in that. That's probably the din of Yoshev Bodod. By a Mitzor, he's Yoshev Bodod. He has to sit alone. He's alone. He's not with any other Tameim. We'll talk about tomorrow night probably, and we'll talk about whether does that mean he's not with a different Tomei. What about with another Mitzayra? Okay. That's a Machlokes. But basically means he's in isolation. And isolation is the sense of, to give a person a feeling of nothing other than himself as a way, hopefully, that when he hit rock bottom, and maybe then he'll be turned around, that he'll want to discover something within himself of his potential, to reawaken his potential and to make an effort. But you put him in total isolation so he can focus on himself. We've also, by the way, answered the kasha that the notion here is of nega is you're going to get a nega because to the extent, and all of us have, almost nobody works to their full potential, everybody has pain. And to the extent you have pain, you're going to talk lashon hara. If you want to avoid, and you're going to have a nega. If you want to avoid the nega, then don't speak. But the starting point is you're going to have a nega, because to the extent that you don't maximize your potential, do maximum effort, you're going to be in pain. And if you're going to be in pain, you're going to wind up with a nega, because a nega means the only way to live is to isolate yourself from your potential, to separate yourself from your potential. And therefore, that's the zechir of Miriam. The reason that Geula, it's Ma'akev and Geula. That's the whole message in Sefer Shemos. That Geula requires, you can't talk Lashon Hara. And there's a few places over there. Oche Noida Dover, there's two things there. One thing is, what's the first thing the Rashi says? Why are we getting Avodas Perach? Because we speak Lashon Hara. What's the word of speaking Lashon Hara? What's that come from? We're not making the effort. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us back-breaking work to train us to do work. He imposes a work ethic. He coerces a work ethic on us. And if there's a work ethic on us and we're pushing, pressured for generations to work, that'll develop in us a work ethic. So Moshe says, I understand why there's Avodas Perach. Avodas Perach means they're taking the work ethic to its maximum degree. Because if you talk Lashon Hara, that means that you don't have a real work ethic. To the extent, we said it's direct proportion. The more Lashon Hara you talk, the less work ethic you have. Because if you have a total, if you have 100% work ethic, you wouldn't have to put anybody else down, you would feel fulfilled. But to the extent that you don't have maximum work ethic, then you feel you've not utilized your potential, which is painful. So therefore, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, but the first thing he says, I now understand why there's Avodas Perach. Number one. The second thing he says, that's the tikkun of Lashon Hara. The tikkun of Lashon Hara is to drill a person in amelus, to teach them hard work, to train them to hard work. And the second part is, he says, you're not roy for geula. And this is a very, I think, very important yesod. Geula doesn't mean being free from Egypt. You can be free from Egypt if you speak Lashon Hara or you don't speak Lashon Hara. What you can't be, what Geula here means, you can't be a Ben Choron. A Ben Choron is somebody who is taking responsibility. Freedom means I'm taking responsibility for myself. In fact, actually, if we use the Maharal's terms, it even comes out better. The Gemara says, and the Mishnah says, Bryce says, Ein loch ben chayrin el misha chorus al haluchas, Ein loch ben chayrin el misha osek b'torah. The Maharal says the relationship to a person in Torah is ben odom la'atzma. He says, Avod is ben odom la'mokam. Gemilas chasodom is ben odom la'chavero. Torah is ben odom la'atzma, which means the only feeling of chayrus is only if a person has a connection to himself. And ben odom la'atzmo is the yesod of chayrus, because chayrus means I'm taking charge of myself. I'm in charge of myself. I have initiative. I'm free, and therefore I am creating my own destiny. Somebody that's separated from himself and alienated from himself and depressed from himself and disappointed himself can't be a ben chorin. Therefore, there's no geula in Bali Lashon Hara. That's the Rashi is saying. The two things Rashi is saying. One thing is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is working on the solution, and the solution is more training and hard work, which is to create a work ethic. And the second thing is that until such time, we're not even shaykh for geula, because until we, as long as we talk Lashon Hara and we are therefore become disassociated from our potential. We're not capable of being in charge. We're not capable of being free. Freedom means that I'm taking charge of myself. Ben Chayrin means I'm in charge of myself. I have initiative. And therefore, as long as I'm talking Lashon Hara, I'm really alienated from myself. I'm separated from myself. And therefore, I'm not roy for Geula. The Yesod, again, we're saying is that the Yesod of Lashon Hara is Nega, means it's a separation of the person from himself. You're not connected to your potential. You know, forget what your potential. You haven't used your potential in so long, because to use your potential was a lot of work, and you weren't willing to make the full effort. And therefore, you might have made some effort, but you didn't have. It didn't give you relief from the pain of unfulfillment. And therefore, you took a different solution. You started putting other people down. You started talking Lashon Hara, and that gave you the instant gratification. And after a while, what your potential was becomes irrelevant, because the way you deal with the pain of non-existence is Lashon Hara. And therefore, you're totally separated from that. That's the Yesod we're saying. And the person that feels that way is not Shaykh. The solution has to be work, work, work. And the Geula can't be till we get in touch with ourselves. The whole word of going out of Mitzrayim is the Pshat that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be in touch with ourselves. He wants us to feel that we know what our potential is. We're committed to our potential. Charus ala luchas is, and that's, as long as we're talking Lashon Hara, we literally don't focus on our abilities. Because if we focus on our abilities, then we're in pain. And I don't have to. All I do is know that I can instantly gratify myself, make myself feel comfortable by talking Lashon Hara, and therefore I don't have to use my abilities. Just in conclusion, I want to say that's the pshat. The Medrash says on the word on Noichi in the Aseres HaDibris is a Egyptian word. We're in Egypt for 200 years. Shleishinu Esleshinu. We didn't speak Egyptian, we spoke Hebrew. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he finally gets all Klai Yisrael together and gives a message to everybody, he starts speaking Egyptian. What's that mean? The Medrash says, I guess the Medrash says the word ani. It doesn't say what the Egyptian, it says anoichi is an Egyptian word. I guess ani, Hashem Elokecha, asher yitzeich me'eretz Mitzrayim would be the Hebrew way of saying it. Anoichi is also a Hebrew way, but it's also an Egyptian word. That's what the Chazal tell us. So what's the pshat? Well, he redeemed us because we didn't speak Egyptian, and now he speaks Egyptian, and it's like, chelm, what does that mean? The pshat is like this. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying to us at Har Sinai, I want you to remember the Egyptian experience. I want you to remember you were in Egypt, because in Egypt is what were you were trained in the work ethic. I want you to take everything that you accomplished in Egypt and take that forward. It's not that you're trying here to divorce yourself from the Egyptian experience. We have to take the Egyptian experience and move it forward. The Egyptian experience is avodas perach, hard work. The yesod of Kabbalah Satoyer is hard work. Anoichi is, I want you, which means now I understand why it's called Chag HaMatzos. That's Lechem Oini. And that's the name of the holiday of liberation. The whole word is, we have to take the experience forward. And this, I think, is also the pshat in Chazal. The Maharal is different, I think is much closer to the pshat. And that is, Maschu B'Gnus Messiah B'Shvach is, Maschu, we start with the Gnus, because we're taking, our obligation is to take the genus forward. We have to take what was the genus of Avodim Hayinu, the power of Mitzrayim, and take that forward. The din of Maschu B'genus, Maral says it just so you get a greater appreciation of the Hatzolah. I think the pshat is much more fundamental. Maschu b'genusis means you have to take the experience of the avdus forward. You have to take avodim hayinu leparo. You have to take now. You need the avodim hayinu leparo. That's what the message is. Don't divorce yourself from the Egyptian experience. Take the Egyptian experience forward. It's Chag HaMatzos. The celebration is taking the Oni forward, because the only way we can actually get in touch with ourselves, focus on our potential, want to commit ourselves to potential, is if we have the work ethic that we learned in Mitzrayim. The Avodas Perach, Rashi says, Moshe Rabbeinu said, was to overcome Lashon Hara. That's the solution for Lashon Hara. And therefore, the message of the night is that we're taking the Avodas Perach that we learn there. It's, I want to block out everything that happened. It's not to block out. It's to take the Egyptian experience forward. That's Maschul B'Genus, means we start with what was a Genus, and now at the end, Nesayim B'Shvach, that we're going to use those negative experiences, that the negative experiences are now positive. The negative experience we're turning into a positive, because we're now being able to use Avodah to fulfill ourselves and to fulfill our potential and to reach the madrig of Ein Loch Ben Chayr El Mishay Sikha Torah. Good Shabbos, a Chag Kosher Sameach.